Welcome to the BIY Podcast, a podcast focused on demystifying the world of work in the music industry by sharing career stories from those who know. I'm Anne Frankenstein, I'm a DJ and broadcaster.
And I'm Sylvia Gargiulo, the founder of BIY People and Talent. We're bringing you honest, meaningful, compassionate human conversations with people, for people, through the lens of working in the music business and beyond.
Sylvia, what can we expect from the BIY pod?
So we're going to be talking to some brilliant people that I've worked with over the years, hearing their career stories and delivering practical advice, hints and tips, and hopefully some inspiration, whether you're just starting out or you're already on your career path within the music business.
So for the first episode, we thought we would talk to you a bit more about our stories, and Sylvia and I go back a long way, so we'll talk to you about that in a moment. But first of all, Sylvia, can you tell us a little bit about BIY?
Yeah, sure. So I set up BIY in the summer of 2016. So essentially, it's a people consultancy for the music business side of things. BIY People and Talent offer HR, people development and recruitment advice and support, with, I suppose, mostly a focus on small and medium sized companies in the music industry. So that means we work right across labels, publishing, live creative agencies, management, DSPs, and we cover, I suppose, support and creative functions like marketing, PR, promo, streaming, sync, digital marketing, God, the list goes on, social media, curation, audience development, brand partnerships, royalties, copyright, project management and admin. And we look after people right from intern right through to GMs and senior management. And then there's a whole another part of the business which is called BIY Future Talent, which is focused on providing practical advice and support to people who want to work in the business side of the music industry. So that's BIY People and Talent and BIY Future Talent.
It's so interesting hearing you go through the list of all the different roles that BIY covers in the music industry, because I think one of the objectives of this podcast is to talk about the myriad of different roles that people can do that they might not realize are options for them if they want to work in music. But we'll touch on that very shortly. First off, can you tell me a little bit about how you got to where you are today?
Of course, yeah. So we'll go right back to 1998, the glory days. So I royally messed up my A-levels. As I say, I was a teenager of the 90s and a huge music fan, to a degree that I potentially thought I was actually Liam Gallagher, but we'll move on from that. So I started working full-time when I was 18. I didn't really know what I wanted to do, and I didn't know that jobs in the music business actually existed. I didn't know the business side was even a thing, really. So I came at it from a perspective of a fan and a consumer. I just thought you were either like in a band like Oasis, or you were, you know, Alan McGee running a record label. And I'm from a working class family, so it was a case of feeling like you just needed to get a job because you got to support yourself and pay rent and bills. And certainly from my perspective, it was always like a necessity rather than a calling or a passion. Like, you had to have a job to live. It wasn't necessarily about pursuing that passion. So I kind of went from job to job, not really feeling like I was getting anywhere. Possibly not being the model employee. I made a lot of mistakes, and I think I was always, in inverted commas, like a management challenge, or so I've been told. But I settled into HR. I guess I really enjoyed dealing with people and seeing how businesses actually run, and seeing that it's actually the people that make an organisation a success, for sure. So I was working in TV post-production in HR, and someone told me that like major record labels actually had HR departments. So that was like a pure light bulb moment for me. I was like, wow, okay, I can combine the passion for music with the skills that I developed in HR. So I was lucky enough to get a call actually about a job in the HR department at Universal Music, where I worked for 3 years. Then I left and went to work at a recruitment consultancy that specialises in media, more broadly recruitment. So I was there for a year, and then I was asked to go back to Universal and just do the recruitment side of things. So I stayed there for 4 years. And actually, one of my biggest focuses and the thing I loved when I was there was intern and entry-level recruitment. So dealing with people who are just starting out, giving them the advice that I wish someone actually had given me. So I was really passionate about making sure we had a truly diverse range of people joining the company. Probably, if I'm honest with you, influenced by my own like working class background, and my dad's an immigrant. Yeah, I grew up, I guess, with a bit of a narrative of, you know, those kind of careers or that kind of thing. It's not for people like you. Like, you keep your head down, keep your mouth shut, and you take what you're given. You don't ask for more, because that job is your lifeline. That's your income. That's all you have. So I guess that role that I had at Universal when I was in the recruitment team, it really allowed me and empowered me to a degree to really advocate for people and help them get in and start a career in the business side of the music industry. So that was really the driver for me, I guess. I may not even have known it at the time. I guess anyone I've ever worked with will tell you that I don't really like being told what to do. I'm probably quite difficult to manage. I've definitely been told that a few times. So naturally, it just felt like, you know, I was always going to set up my own business. So I set up BIY back in 2016, which brings us up to date. So that's kind of me and how I've got to where I am. More interestingly, actually, Anne, why don't you talk us through your story?
I don't know about that. I relate so much to what you're told about not liking being told what to do. It's a fundamental issue for me as well. So I always loved music, same as yourself, Sylv. I was always obsessed with it. It was like the defining part of my character and my identity. I was always trying to force other people to listen to the music that I liked. I wasn't satisfied just listening to it by myself. I was always the one monopolizing the car stereo or like making mixtapes or CDs for my friends and being like, you listen to this, everyone shut up and listen to this. So naturally, I started DJing when I was about 15. With a particular interest in collecting records. So continued doing that, continued DJing at parties. And I grew up in Dublin, so I was kind of DJing around Dublin. And then I left to come to London and go to university and have an adventure when I was 19. I was studying music, and I'd never been particularly academic through school, and university just completely solidified that, because I think my course was like 8 hours of lectures and the rest was independent study. And those two words are like a contradiction in terms to me. So I just completely made an absolute dog's dinner of that and ended up dropping out because I kind of wasn't into the academic side of things, because I was having a few mental health issues as well. And also because financially it didn't feel sustainable for me to stay at uni, although I was supporting myself to a certain extent through DJing. I wasn't eligible for student loans or anything like that because I did come from Ireland. So I kind of thought, okay, I should probably try and find a job. So went into admin, sort of DJing went by the wayside for a while. I fell into HR and went and did HR in a music agency. My heart wasn't really in it, but it was something that I pursued a bit like what you say, Sylv, in that you're just like, this is good enough. I need money to pay my rent and, you know, do my food shopping. And so I'm not going to look a gift horse in the mouth, as they say, and I'm going to carry on doing this work. But I really, although I love dealing with people, it just wasn't really for me. And then I got a short-term contract at Universal doing HR there, which is where I met the wonderful Sylv. But I've said this before, she was so popular at Universal that it was almost impossible to get 5 minutes of time with her. She'd walk down the corridor and there'd be 10 people trying to speak to her at any one time. But somehow I broke through and became her friend. And then I left, did HR somewhere else. And I was just like, I can't take this anymore. I have to do something. I remember it was Christmas, and the prospect of coming back to an office after Christmas was just the most depressing thing that I could think of. So I just thought, I'm going to give this DJing thing a go. I'd taken on more gigs and was sort of getting kind of more prolific with my DJing. So essentially I was working full time and DJing all weekend and sort of half killing myself. I was also doing a radio show on a South London great little station. And that's sort of where I cut my teeth doing radio. Went freelance, sort of jumped off a cliff and took the sort of all the financial risk and personal risk that goes along with that. And just absolutely worked my ass off trying to get gigs and hustle and network and all of this stuff. And eventually that paid off. I sent a load of demos off to different radio stations. Eventually, I got the attention of Jazz FM. I sort of wormed my way in there, and now I present their mid-morning show, which, may I just say, has the highest listenership of any daytime show on the station. I also present a little show called The Late Lab on Thursday nights, where I get to share all the weird old records I wouldn't get to play during the day. I do a lot of voiceover work now. Obviously, DJing has been on hiatus since lockdown, but I'm really enjoying the radio work I do now. And yeah, that's my story. You know, Sylvie, you approached me about doing this podcast a few months ago. Obviously, I'm a big fan of the medium, but why did you decide to do a podcast?
The reasons are numerous, but to try and break it down, I guess I've really struggled with my mental health during the pandemic. The isolation has been really, really difficult, and I desperately miss that sense of community that I used to get from being with other people. And I know I'm not alone in that, of course. So on many different levels, 2020 has been challenging and exhausting, and I think everyone seems to be having a bit of a existential crisis. I know I have. So I suppose I wanted to do something to reconnect people, to offer a little bit of hope and help in an area where I actually have some expertise and experience in, and remind people that they're not alone. And even though it's tough out there, you know, we will get through it together. And podcasts have definitely been a bit of a lifeline for me, actually. Like, they have offered me inspiration, education and a connection. So a BIY pod seemed like a bit of a no-brainer. And I was so chuffed and certainly relieved and that you agreed to get involved with this. So tell us why you wanted to do this sort of podcast.
Obviously, I love podcasts, and there's something I love doing and I love listening to as well. And I was pleased that you asked me about this, because I think what you do with BIY is amazing. You're so good and natural at connecting people, and you've got such a huge amount of expertise about working in this industry across all levels. You know, back in the good old days when people could physically be together in the same space, I hosted a few panels for you where you brought together some really interesting people to talk about their experiences of all aspects of working in the music industry. And I really enjoyed those. And it just made me realize there needs to be a platform for people to learn about this stuff. And, you know, from the enthusiasm that people attending those talks had and the questions that they asked, you could tell there's a real hunger to get access to this information. And when I first quit full-time work and decided to pursue DJing, I just felt very lucky that I had some kind of chip in my brain that would not allow me to stop hustling. You know, I don't think that I'm the most highly skilled worker in the world. I don't think I'm the best DJ in the world or the best radio presenter. But I think one of the things that you need to work in the music industry is this sort of sense of resilience and sort of ability to network and push those doors open, more so than in a lot of other industries. And I think the more we can share those kind of insights and tactics with people, the richer and more diverse and more interesting the music industry is going to be.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that, actually. And I think that sometimes what people forget when they are trying to get in, or maybe they're in already and they're moving in or looking to move into a new role, yes, there are the skills and experience side of things, but there's also like the qualities and behaviors and attributes when you're starting out. You know, that's actually really, really important. And I always try and remind people that, you know, your biggest USP is that you're you. Like, there's only one of you in any process, so don't feel like you have to conform to any specific imaginary, like, this is what a person who works in the music industry is like. Do you, like, is one of the most important things I think that people know. And, you know, you don't have to be the loudest person in the room, you know, just be you, know what your strengths are, work on your areas for development, and you'll get there. I think that proactivity and positivity is so important. Loads of other P words, which I'm sure we'll come on to in
a little bit of alliteration on the radio. It's perfect.
I love it.
But yes, you're dead right. And I think breaking into the music industry can be such an intimidating prospect. And I hate the idea that there are certain people from from certain backgrounds or with certain personality types who would be put off by that. So the goal is to really help anyone who wants to work in music to do just that.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, again, coming back to one of the points we made earlier, there are so many roles in the music business. And I keep repeating the phrase music business rather than music industry. What we specialise in, or what I specialise in, is the business side of things. So it's the roles at labels, it's the roles at management companies, it's the roles in publishing companies. You know, there are so many roles that people don't know about. For example, you know, you might be someone who is great with numbers and likes finding patterns, and you might have that particular skill set, and you might think, well, how am I gonna fit into the music business? Well, there are literally loads of roles within you know, record companies or any other number of companies in the music business where, you know, that analytical skill set is really important. You know, with streaming being such a big thing, you know, there's roles in data analytics from streaming or data insights from social media. You know, some of the areas I mentioned at the top of the podcast, you know, audience development, curation, brand partnerships, you know, people might not even know that those roles exist. And I've been working on an entry-level streaming role recently, and at least three of the six candidates that I initially spoke to about the role were like, I didn't realize that job existed. So yeah, the more we can sort of make clear what the opportunities are and the different routes into the music business side of things, I think there is a role for people with various different sort of strengths and skill sets. So I'd really love to be part of opening up that conversation and answering people's questions. And on that, actually, what I would say is we'd really love to get listeners involved. So if you've got any burning questions, you can email them to us at hello@biypeople.co.uk. That's hello@biypeople.co.uk with BIY pod in the subject line. Email us your questions and we will try to answer as many of those as we can.
You can also follow us on social media as well at biy.people.and.talent on Instagram. Check us out there. Send us a DM if you've got a question for the podcast about breaking into the music industry. I imagine as well at the moment it's a particularly challenging prospect with everything in the industry having to adapt so much. But, you know, you could be a part of that. There's plenty of opportunities ahead, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the things I would say is, you know, even if it doesn't feel like you've seen some jobs advertised, right, and you're like, oh, I don't have that experience at the moment, one thing I would encourage people to do is create their own experience. And we'll talk about that in more detail at a later date. If you're just starting out in the music business, check out our Future Talent Facebook page. That's BIY Future Talent. And for anyone who's already on their music business career path, it's BIY Peoples with an S at the end. Like I said, you know, I think it's important, and I'd love to in this podcast obviously help as many people trying to get started in the music business side of things, but I'm equally interested in hearing from people who are already on their career path, because it is challenging out there. And like I've said before, and I'm sure I'll say it again, we want to try and reach as many people and help as many people as humanly possible through the medium of podcast,
the best possible medium for it. We got some really, really exciting guests coming up from Sylve's little black book of magical guests coming up in future episodes. And each episode, we're going to be making a donation to a cause we care about on behalf of our guests. This week, because it's the two of us, we get to choose. Sylvia, what's the cause this week?
So the cause this week is actually the Stephen Lawrence Charitable Trust, for more reasons than I can go into now. I just think the work they do is so, so incredibly important. If anyone doesn't know what the Stephen Lawrence Trust does, they work with young people from disadvantaged backgrounds, age 13 to 30, to inspire and enable them to succeed in the career of their choice. And they also influence others to create a fairer society in which everyone, regardless of their background, can flourish. And we should all be mindful and all know about Stephen's story, which was a horrific story, actually, back in 1993 when he was murdered in a racist attack. But the Stephen Lawrence Charitable Trust does this amazing work all in Stephen's name, which is fantastic.
Stephen Lawrence Charitable Trust, such a brilliant charity, and we're so pleased to be making a donation to them this week. Keep your ear to the ground for the amazing guests we're going to be having on future episodes of this podcast. Keep up with us on social media in the meantime, biy.people.and.talent on Instagram, BIY Future Talent or BIY Peoples on Facebook. And if you want to send us an email, it's hello@biypeople.co.uk. Just make sure you put BIY Pod in the subject line. My name's Anne Frankenstein. That's Sylvia Gargiulo. Sylv.
Thank you. Thank you for joining me. I'm so excited for this.
I'm so excited as well. And of course, thank you so, so much to our amazing producer, Kearney Kerr, who's been silently working the controls over the course of this episode.
Just a reminder, BIY stands for Believe It Yourself, Build It Yourself, Be It Yourself. So we're here to remind you that you can do it too.
That's the message. And yeah, keep an eye on our socials and we'll catch up with you in the next episode.